Matt Williamson, the NFL scout for ESPN.com. He joins us on the Metro PCS hotline. You can follow Matt on Twitter, at WilliamsonNFL. Highly recommend it. Matt, welcome back. Thanks for coming on. Good to hear from you, as always. And let's start with Tyson Clabo. Dolphins obviously have been trying to answer the offensive tackle question for the last several weeks. They do so yesterday. Where is Tyson Clabo in your book right now in this career?
I like him. I mean, I think he's a quality player that is – you know, not exceptional in any one area, but, I mean, one thing I learned when I was a scout with the Browns is there's a residing theory out there that if you have decent attributes, you're tough, and you're smart, you can last in the NFL as an offensive lineman for a long time. And I think Clabo fits that bill. You know, he's not going to be the fleetest of foot, you know, recovering from double moves and pass protection, or, you know, the best at getting to the second level deep down, you know, downfield as a blocker. But he's pretty solid in all areas. He's technically sound, and he certainly brings some grit.
So Tyson Clabo gets added to the rotation on the offensive line. I think the last time we talked to you was before free agency, right before free agency. I know you're a Pittsburgh guy, and we were talking about Mike Wallace, and you kind of signed up for Dwayne Bowe and the Miami Dolphins. He, of course, ends up not going anywhere. So now Wallace is here. We seem to have gotten past the one-trick pony argument. We've talked to enough people who told us that that's not the issue. But I know you watch him very, very closely. What can Mike Wallace do to help this Dolphin offense out, and to help Ryan Tannehill in particular out?
Well, that one trick is pretty darn good. You know, I mean, there's no doubt about it that what he brings to the table, few receivers in this league can't, just in terms of putting the fear of God into defensive coordinators. You know, that he's going to run right past my corner and they're going to get seven, and that's the last thing I want to happen. I want to force defenses or offenses to sustain long drives, you know, 12, 15 play drives, move down the field, matriculate the ball down the field, so to speak. I don't want a home run over the top of my corner. So I'm going to do everything possible to take that away, which is either playing, you know, a really off coverage. And Wallace is obviously adept enough to sit down his routes and nickel and dime you a little bit. Or, you know, roll safeties over his side of the field, which is great for Keller and the running game and the other options. So his stats might not blow you away. I mean, he might not look like Calvin Johnson and Brandon Marshall in terms of receptions and yardage and certainly touchdowns, but he does open up a lot of room for everybody else.
You talked about Mike Wallace as being one of these guys that we picked up in free agency, but, you know, you rarely see the Dolphins do so much in free agency, like the Phillip Willers, Danelle Ellerbees, Brandon Gibson. What do you think about what they did as, you know, in terms of free agency, the guys they brought in?
I have mixed feelings about it. I mean, I kind of look at the AFC and think, and particularly the AFC East, and think, you know, there's one big dog in the division, but the rest of the division is very much for the taking. The conference is very much the same way, in my opinion. It looks like every division has a clear-cut number one team, but, you know, the wild card spots, and who knows how it's going to go, but the wild card spots are very open, and I think Miami has as good of an argument as Pittsburgh or Cincinnati or, you know, pretty much anyone else in the AFC to be a wild card contender. So, you know, let's be aggressive. And I got to think, and you guys probably know better than I do, but I got to think that the general manager is a little worried about his job too. So, you know, let's bring in as much as we can to show noticeable improvement. Also, much like what's happening in St. Louis, you know, I'm very critical of teams that invest highly in a quarterback and then don't help them. You know, I mean, I think that's a crime that happens too much around the league, and you certainly can't say that that's the case in Miami anymore. You know, they're getting him weapons at all levels, you know, even a guy like Keller. I mean, Keller, with a real quarterback, if he can stay healthy, can be a valuable receiver for you. So, you know, he kept their safety blanket in Hartline. I think people forget about that too easily, that that's really all Tannehill had to throw to last year, and those two were successful together. You know, now Hartline's your third or fourth option. That's pretty promising.
With Miami Dolphins defense clearly being a strength for this football team, the signing of Deion Jordan, how much do you think that really helps out Cameron Wake and the Miami Dolphins pass rush?
You guys probably know it, but I feel like the rest of the country doesn't realize that Cameron Wake might be one of the best two or three pass rushers in the whole league. And his stats all don't always blow you away. They don't always live up to that. But because everybody rolls their protection his way a ridiculous amount of the time. And, you know, everybody in the league knows how good he is. I don't know that the general public in Kansas City or, you know, Seattle understands how threatening he is. But now it's going to be a lot harder to deal with. You know, it's almost like I look at pass rushers like I do wideouts. You know, I mean, I think Wake is a number one, a pure number one pass rusher, much like Michael Irvin was the number one receiver and Alvin Harper was a clear two. Well, he's had a lot of threes on the other side of him. And now with Jordan, you don't have to rush him into things, but I think he can also be a number one. And there's not many teams in the league that I can say, wow, they have two number one edge pass rushers. And there's one thing I want to mention about Jordan that I haven't heard anybody else bring up, but it dawned on me recently that this guy is an unbelievable physical specimen, but he might actually be able to be a Gronkowski and Hernandez killer. You know, he might do some of his best work in the division as a coverage player. I mean, he lined up in the slot against the receivers that were 5'10 last year. I mean, I think he can move and run with Gronkowski and Hernandez, and that's an odd bird.
Yeah, we've brought it up hesitantly and sort of like, well, maybe. I don't know how mad scientist Kevin Coyle wants to get, the defensive coordinator. But with Deion Jordan and some of these other pieces, he can get mad scientist if he wants to. And it's definitely something that's popped into my head, and I'm glad to hear you're with me on that. Matt Williamson is the NFL scout for ESPN.
I wouldn't put Jordan on Gronk all day, like Island, and just say, hey, you're all alone. Best of luck.
At times, though.
But yeah, I mean, it gives you another option. I mean, there's a few guys that are his dimension.
It's interesting, too, because on offense, we're always talking about creating mismatches and that, you know, when you break the huddle, the defense doesn't know what you're going to do. Very rarely are there guys that could do that defensively. Okay, Deion Jordan's on the field, but the offense isn't sure if he's going to line up with his hand in the ground or maybe back in coverage or as a line, whatever. I mean, it's definitely an interesting one. Matt Williamson, ESPN.com, used to scout for the Browns on Twitter, at WilliamsonNFL. Tough question, but what are fair and realistic expectations in your mind for Ryan Tannehill in year two, taking into account what we saw last year, what the schedule looks like, and what they've done to help him out?
I was a very big believer in Tannehill a year ago. I mean, even before I saw what he did in the NFL, I liked him way better than anybody in this class. I thought he was a franchise quarterback coming out of A&M, and I like him more now than I did then. I'm a big, big believer. I think he's finally the answer since Dan Marino. You know, I mean, everybody's been scrambling for majority of my lifetime, really, to find the replacement for Marino in Miami, and I think he is. I mean, I really think he's going to be a perennial top 10 type of quarterback throughout his career. You know, what's a reasonable expectation? Just don't go backwards. You know what I mean? Like, just continue to look like you belong, make fewer mistakes, and let your, you know, realize that your defense is the strength of your team, as you guys mentioned, and you have a lot more around you now than you did as a rookie, that you don't have to put the team on your shoulders and you know, Brett Favre your way to victory every week, because these guys will make plays for you. The defense should keep it close. You know, I don't want to put a win total on it or a touchdown to interception ratio on it, but I want to see fewer mistakes. And once in a while, you know, pull one out for me. You know, go up to Foxborough and play them tight, and in the final drive, let's see that twice next year where, you know, Tannehill does put the team on his shoulders just in those last couple minutes in a tight game against a quality opponent.
That's a really, really nice way to put it. Matt Williamson, NFL scout for ESPN.com, on Twitter at WilliamsonNFL. I think we're going to save that cut, and I'm going to like play it 1,000 times between now and week one when people ask us this question, because I think you come at it very fairly. Appreciate the time as always, man. Thanks so much, and we'll catch up soon.
All right, guys. Take care of yourselves.